Sit down, Jones.
I'd like to call the code board's meeting to order. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes? If so. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
I'll make a second. There is a minor change in there. You can refer to a miss as a mister, but it's no big deal.
Can everybody have a microphone drawn?
Yeah, it's hard to hear.
Can you hear me?
Okay. That's better. All right. Yes, sir. The Berlin Review number one, payoff amount is $2,724.
Yeah, I was wondering. I tried to do the math on that. It didn't make any sense.
I forgot to put in the compliance date.
Yes.
So it kept calculating, and I apologize.
Okay.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Hines?
Here.
Ms. House?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Mr. Weatherholt?
Here.
And Ms. Cundy?
Code officer, would you please come forward to this one?
Raise your hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Okay. Here's our procedure. We will be calling cases by number for the most part of our order as they are listed on the agenda. If there are any attorneys or police officers present, we will hear those cases first. When your case is called, please come forward and be sworn in. State your name and address for the records. If you're not the owner of the property, please state your relationship to the owner. Our proceedings are recorded, so please talk. So please speak into the microphone. The board hears from the code officers first, and then you will be given the opportunity to respond. Please direct all responses to the board. Witnesses may also follow the same procedures. Are there any attorneys present?
I don't see mine.
Okay. We will.
I want your request.
Yeah. We do have a request. Our first case is going to be number 15. Okay, compliance. Do we have any compliance?
Yes, ma'am, we do. Case number 1, 11-17-142, is in compliance 5-9-2018. Case number 3, 02-18-19, is in compliance 4-26-2018. Case number 7 is in compliance 5-8-2018. Case number 8 is in compliance 5-8-2018. Case number 10 is in compliance 5-2-2018. Case number 13 is in compliance 5-8-2018. And case number 17 is in compliance 5-8-2018.
We're now
on the motion 5.
Oh. Yeah.
Thank you.
Number 12, you may want to announce as well that the staff is pulling that case. They're likely to possibly be filed next month, but this, I don't know if it gets worked out, but as of now, it's being pulled.
Okay, case number 12.
It's number 12 or number 11?
Number 12.
Number 12, 13 is at all.
Thank you.
15.
Case number 0518-49.
Could you state your name and address, please, and speak into the microphone?
Sarah Horton, 608 Cassin Avenue, Detroit.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
You can stay right there.
Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the board, Anthony Jackson, attorney for the City of Daytona Beach. This case is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. This is 608 Cassin Avenue. The inspector is Barbara Collins. Ms. Collins reports that the property remains in noncompliance. She acknowledges and she's been informed today that they're pretty much done, but she hadn't had the chance to re-inspect to know whether or not they're in compliance or not, but she's asking for next cutoff for them to come into compliance.
You're asking us to find in non-compliance next cutoff?
Yes, the request is that they be found in non-compliance and be given until next cutoff to come into compliance.
It will continue until 6:16. Do I have a motion?
Thank you.
Motion. Second.
It's been moved and properly second. That will be the next cutoff, which is June 6, 2018.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, we're now on to case number 1017127. Okay, lien review number 1017127.
Is that a compliance?
Yeah, that is compliance. That is in compliance.
2-7-8-2018.
Is that the updated?
I gave them updated agendas. It's in compliance on 2.
Mr. Singh, also?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Everything is good.
Everything is good.
Okay. I had a question about the fine that was placed.
Yes. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And your name is?
Carolyn Shafe.
Carolyn Shafe.
Good morning. I would like to discuss the fine that was given to me in January. It's a little confusing. Is the fine for lack of compliance? Is the fine a time issue? Is the fine working without a permit? I'm very confused on, first off, what the fine is for. I need some clarification, and Mark and I have talked, and it's still confusing. You know, I've come into compliance. If it was a permit issue, I tried to get a permit on what the board asked me to do, and I could not. Because, one, you can't get a permit on somebody else's work, and, two, they were the wrong materials, so that wasn't going to happen. I went in and got the permit for what we needed to do, and I understand it's been a long, drawn-out process, but it takes time. I was new to your state, finding people to work with, finding what I needed to do with doors and windows, never being through this process before. It was confusing, and this was a difficult process. So I have come into compliance. I've restuccoed, and on top of that, I've restuccoed the house. I ordered the awnings. I mean, it's really going to be nice. I ask if you would please release the lien, release the fine.
You're aware that the fine is only $2,700, not the original.
Yes.
So that's been corrected.
Yeah. I called. I was a little confused.
I don't blame you.
But even $2,700 takes away from the money to put in the patio. It takes away from the money that I can use for the awnings.
Well, from what I'm reading here, this was for the 30 days between the time you were fined in January to the time that the compliance order was granted February 7th.
Yes.
So a little less than 30 days. So that's the procedure we normally have. Now, what you're asking for is to reduce the fine or eliminate the fine.
Yes, sir. I have done what I could to come into compliance, to understand the process, to work with the permit office, to work with the board, the rejuvenation project. I'm really trying to do what I'm supposed to do.
Okay, Mr. Jackson, could you please enlighten her?
Yes, Madam Chair, and Ms. Arrington's right. Now you ask what the fine is for, and it was just that you exceeded the time for when you were ordered to come into compliance by 27 days. Based on the record. And so the board made a finding to fine you $100 per day, and for those 27 days it ran for at $100 per day. I've been advised by staff and even redevelopment staff that the position of staff is that she really has done an excellent job on the house. But it did take a long time, and it did take staff involvement. The staff is willing to ask for reduction or recommend a reduction, and the reduction we recommend is for a $1,000 fine, reducing the fine to $1,000, covering just primarily the cost of involvement in the case. And it was a case that went on for some time. And yes, she came in at an awkward spot, but it had to come into compliance. We've already discussed and argued the points that supported the fine being imposed, and it ran for 27 days. So the request is reduce the fine to $1,000.
Okay. Well,
I'd like to talk to the inspector before we make a motion.
Mark Jones, Neighborhood Services.
So you're satisfied with all of the work that's been done? It's up to code, proper materials being used?
Yes, where it is today is up to code, and it looks really nice what they have done. It just was took some time to get to where it is.
So the first thing that the resident had is she didn't pull a permit. I'm assuming it wasn't a licensed contractor that she used beginning.
She purchased the house, and the work had been done.
Oh, it had already been done.
And
okay.
So I met with her to get permits for the three, for the doors, windows, and the siding that had been installed.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And just briefly, since Mr. Berger is here, I would like for him to be heard briefly. I don't know if he's been sworn already.
My name is Reed Berger, and I am the redevelopment director.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Just on the question of the, your perspective of the outcome of the status of the work, that type of thing.
Well, since November, we've been working with Ms. Shea, and it's been our pleasure to work with her, because she has, as a homeowner, come in, taken a rental, and that was really been sitting for a long time in bad shape. And this is a historic neighborhood, number one. This is on the National Register, Surfside District. And what has happened through the years is people will think they're remodeling it for all the good and right reasons, but they're destroying the integrity of the house, the compatibility with the architecture that was there before. She listened when we asked her to change the way that she was doing it, the stucco, the design, to try to bring that back to something closer to its original character and architecture. And that's been the process she's willing to follow and expend those dollars. So for me to see, number one, someone come in as a homeowner in that area, and number two, to like some of the other properties nearby, to really take the extra steps to make that a just one great property is what we really appreciate. So, again, I see nothing but good things coming from the work that she's doing. Appreciate it.
If I can say one more thing, under these circumstances, we would normally not ask for such reduction, but having heard from Mr. Berger and his satisfaction in the work that was done, the staff has taken a position that we believe that a $1,000 fine will be a reasonable fine.
Well, Carolyn, is your intentions to live in this home, or are you renting it?
Yes, no, I'm living in it.
Okay.
Well, I personally am willing to reduce it to $500. I think, you know, every effort's been made, and it's meeting the standards of this, particularly the historic preservation standards, are a real plus. And I think basically we can afford to reduce it to $500. Well, it's discussion if anybody has any other comments.
Okay.
Well, then I'll make it a motion to reduce the fine to $500, which includes our costs and
payable within 30 days.
Payable within 30 days.
Second.
It is moved and seconded that the reduction goes to $500 payable within 30 days.
Thank you.
I understand that it does not pay the back to the original amount.
The original amount.
All in favor?
Aye.
But I understand it's $500 in 30 days. If not, go back to the original amount.
Go ahead.
If it's not paid within 30 days, it will revert to the full amount.
I'm going to pay it. Thank you.
Case number one. CEB 11-17-142.
It's in compliance.
It's in compliance.
The date
5-9-2018. Okay. Case number two, CEB 011-1817, J&L&W Properties.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is John Stinson. This is the property at 1116 Madison Avenue. Mr. Stinson reports that the property remains in non-compliance. However, it's the primary issue is that they have had a recent rental inspection. They have some minor things that still need to be repaired. So he's asking to amend to the next cutoff for those things to be taken care of, and he expected they'll be able to comply by next meeting. And I turn to Mr. Stinson if you have any factual questions.
Are there any questions from the board?
Have they applied for the residential license?
Yes. Good morning. John Stinson, code inspector with the city. They have applied, and they just had a rental inspection this past Friday. It did not pass for some minor issues. Okay. Inspector Jones is going to go back and re-inspect. Then they should be good to go.
Thank you.
What's the appearance on the outside?
The whole property has been repainted. The landscaping has been completely redone. The interior has been redone as well. It's just a lot of pictures.
Okay.
Well, I move to... move this case to the next cutoff date, which is what? What? 6/6/18. That's June 6.
I'll second that.
Okay.
That's a motion.
Yes. Was that a motion?
Yes, that was a motion.
Do I hear a second?
Yes, I'll second it.
This move the proper second that this, when the next cutoff, which is 6/6/18, June 6, 2018. Okay.
We need to vote on
vote.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It is removed. Properly second motion carried. The next cutoff. Case number CEB021819 with Robbie and Wendy Burke are, is in compliance as of 4/26/18. Case number CEB111760 Rosetta Henderson at 785 Tennessee Street. Is the respondent here?
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is the property at 785 Tennessee Street. The inspector reports that this property remains in non-compliance. Permits were issued on 3/12. That's correct. And so with no additional action being done, and that's the last report I've heard from the inspector is Mark Jones, is that it remains in non-compliance, and we're asking that $100 per day fine be imposed to a maximum of $10,000. I will attend to Mr. Jones for any factual questions.
Are there any questions from the board? Mr. Jones, do you have anything to say?
No questions.
Questions, I did. Do you have a question, Mr. Jones?
No.
Oh, no. So there's a motion to fine $100 per day for this case. All in favor?
I need to cap it $10,000. To make a motion, somebody needs to make the motion.
I'll make the motion for $100 per day, $10,000 max.
Okay. It goes to the next cutoff date? And
no. $100 a day.
Starting today.
Starting today.
All right.
Starting today. It has been moved. For $100 a day. I didn't hear a second.
A second.
It's been moved and properly second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Case number CEB041832, Mike Nelson at 104 Maplewood Drive.
State your name and address, please.
Mike Nelson. Address is 834 Loyola Drive.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, and the truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Mr. Nelson and the code.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is the property at 104 Maplewood Drive. The inspector is Mark Jones. This is before you for determination of imposition of a fine. Mr. Jones reports that the respondent remains in noncompliance. He has yet to schedule a rental inspection. He's expressed having a new tenant and wanting to evict and other things. However, this is since February of 2018. Mr. Jones is requesting a $250 day fine to a maximum of $15,000. I turn to Mr. Jones if you have any factual questions.
Mr. Jones, is the property rented at the moment?
It is my understanding from Mr. Nelson that it is. It had been rented again, yes.
So there's no question that it has to have an inspection and a license?
Correct.
Well, may I ask, was this rented after you had given notice of the failure to have a rental inspection?
I'm not sure the exact time that he rented it.
Has he ever asked for an inspection?
Well, we had a case prior to this one in regards to this where we had a tenant complaint, and I did go in and inspect it for what the issues were on the complaint, but at that time I had not cited him for renting a property without a license. So came back after that case was closed and cited him because it was going to be re-rented.
As I recall, he had rented that out before the last time he was here. Is that not right?
Correct, I believe so.
Mr. Nelson. On April 12, I applied for a rental permit. Of course, prior to that, I was told by the permit and licensing department that the property was in fact a rental property, and after the last meeting that we had here, I checked with them and they still told me it's a rental property, and I asked the person that I talked to, please write down something so I can show that evidence to the board. She says she was not allowed to do so, otherwise she's going to lose her job. So I just don't want to get into the detail of that. But the property has been a rental property since 2011. But anyway, I still, despite that, I decided to comply with request of Mr. Jones, and I, April 12, I applied for another permit, and it was immediately approved, and then they told me that we have to go for an inspection. And I mentioned to them the inspection was already done. An inspection was already done on March the 30th, and the property was found in compliance. Do we need to go for another one? But anyway, I still decided to go ahead and comply and schedule a inspection for Mr. Jones. But Mr. Jones wrote an affidavit stating that the property didn't have a license and gave that to my tenant. And once tenant found out about that, then she decided not to cooperate with the inspection and not to pay rent. So it didn't leave me with any other choice other than evicting the tenant. Right now, tenant is in eviction and she is in default, and the case is pending before the judge for a final order. Once the judge issues the final order, then I will have somebody clean up the property and make it ready for inspection of Mr. Jones. But that's where we stand at this point. And I also have this evidence if you would like to take a look at.
What is it that you...
This is a motion for default judgment on the case. This is also the invoice for the permit.
Mr. Nelson, this is the second rental or the first one? Because I'm looking at two. You had one before. Is this the same rental or...
Yeah.
Is this the same renter?
That was a different case. Tenant was evicted, and then the inspection was arranged.
Different case, same property, same situation, just additional violation that wasn't cited initially.
It's like, ma'am, deja vu all over.
And it is a different tenant.
But I don't have my records here, but I believe that he was told that he had to get that rental license, though.
Well, Mr. Sino, I'm asking Mr. Sino for some advice here.
Oh, he's in the process of, according to that document, he's got a judgment for eviction. Do you know anything about followed up on it at all, Mark? Do you know if the person's still living there or is he out of that?
I've been by the house, yeah. But not able to verify whether there's someone living there or not. I was there yesterday.
The next step would be to get somebody to get the sheriff to actually remove it.
It's still in court. Are we allowed to?
We need to be able to. You know, it's up to you guys, obviously, when you can stay or not. But you're in court. You can't get a license, obviously, to get some out of it.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
On April 12th, at the last meeting, the situation came up, and it was told to Mr. Nelson to get a rental license, and he went down to the permitting department. I walked down with him, and he then paid for his rental application on April 12th. So he does now have a rental application that's been approved. He just has not had the rental.
So we're in a catch 22 thing here.
So Mark, what's your recommendation?
How's he going to get the inspection tenants still there?
Either have to get the tenant's consent to enter, or we have to wait until the property is vacant.
So we're looking at another maybe 2 to 3 months.
Yeah. Well, if I can clarify. At this point, I don't know if we've actually been rejected by the tenant. It appears, I don't think Mr. Jones has had any contact with the tenant. In fact, I think he had the post. So we don't know if the tenant specifically is not allowing us entry or allowing us to inspect. The alternatives are that if we believe we have the legal basis, we would have to get a inspection warrant to go in and inspect anyway, or if y'all elect, we'll wait until the proceeding is complete. But at this point, I have to agree with Mr. Sino and the general perspective that if indeed it is at this stage, so something that wasn't presented before, but at this stage of pre-litigation or as far as eviction, then we probably are in a position where we probably can't compel, and we wouldn't be in our best interest to find at this meeting.
The problem I'm looking at, Mr. Jackson, is that at the last meeting he was told he did go in a bond, but on that affidavit there that he gave, I think it said May 7th. So he just went down. Am I right?
Well, I think our inspector is kind of acknowledging that he went down on April 12th, which would have been the date of the last meeting, and paid for the application.
He is in May. He's following the process. You probably need to give him one more month, and if he even an opportunity to get that inspection done. If he doesn't do it, then I think at that point we may want to consider fining him, but I think at this point he has a right to a stay.
I agree with that.
Well, I'm trying to wrap my head around the process here because this is a separate rental person in your house that you're evicting a second one, is this not? The first one, we went through this already and we gave you time to get an inspection. You did. Then you rented it again before getting a license. Unless I'm misunderstanding this, this is my... My memory of this is that you rented this before you got the second license for the rental and the inspection. This is the second renter that you are evicting, is it not?
As I mentioned before, the first one was in a different case. The tenant basically didn't want to pay the rent,
right.
So she came up with damaging a portion of the property and then calling the code enforcement And then once everything is said and done, and then she was evicted.
And then you turned right around and rented it again,
then,
right?
Then we realized that it was not really, the property wasn't in any violation. It was in compliance, in fact. And then she was evicted. And then the next time I gave Mr. Jones a notice, and he came there. At that time, we didn't know if there was a license or not. I checked, as I mentioned to you, with the permit and licensing, and they told me that this property is licensed as a rental property. They told me that three times, and I wrote it last time and signed it and gave each of you a copy so you realize it.
Right.
That's the extent that I could have gone. Mr. Jones told me to call them and ask to verify them, and they told me it is a rental property. And the way that I see it, it is still a rental property. I really don't want to challenge the decision of this board.
Nobody's challenging that, but you didn't call for an inspection when you got the second renter in there, did you not? You were told at the last meeting.
No, at that time I wasn't aware of it. I found out about it when Mr. Jones came and inspected the property, and that was after the property was re-rented.
See, Allison, I think what they're saying, you have a document that you're going to follow up on that's going to remove the tenant. At that point, the place will be vacant if you have your inspection. If you go back and rent it again to somebody else, this board is not going to be sympathetic.
No, that wasn't the case. What I am saying that I did not know about Mr. Jones's inspection. Of course, not that I don't know what's going on, you know. I wasn't aware of it until the day of inspection. That he, at that time, he told me that the property didn't have the license, and that was when the property was already re-rented. But the solution, what right now it is,
thank you. I think you get the gist of what you're saying. There was a motion to extend it another month before the fine.
But then if he doesn't have this person out in a month, he's going to need another month.
Mr. Singer just said that he won't have any sympathy.
He's got an order now. He's got an order. He's getting hers out in a few days.
Okay.
And you understand you can't rent it after this person is out. You can't rent it until you get that inspection and license. At that time, you can rent it to anybody you want. Once the person you're having evicted is out of the house, before you rent it again, you need to get the license and inspection.
Sure.
Okay. You're real clear on that, because if the person goes out and you rent it again without an inspection and a license, we're going to fine you.
No problem.
Yeah,
absolutely.
If I could just clarify one or two things, Ms. Hampton had a chance to check. But we're not really looking at an order at this point. It's just a motion where the court hadn't acted on the motion yet, and the respondent did file an answer. So it's very possible that this may be something that will go on more than just a few, a week or a few days. But in any sense, I think at least from the perspective of staff, there's this necessity of diligence and good faith. If indeed he's working through this process, that he works through it in diligence and in good faith and get it done. If there's anything short of that when he should return, we'll be looking to move forward. And I think keeping all of this history in mind and asking for a fine that may be substantial.
I move that we move this case to the next cutoff.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and properly second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The next cutoff, Mr. Nelson.
Yes.
term is June 6th.
June 6th. We must have all of this done, the inspection and everything.
So once the tenant is evicted, I will make arrangement for Mr. Jones to come and inspect.
Good.
And if you, I mean, is there any reason why you would not allow him to inspect if the tenant allows Mr. Jones to inspect?
Tenant, I already have asked, and she has returned my call. I have said so many times. Tenants right now, the court may enter the default judgment today, tomorrow, anytime now, because case is in default and the court has already denied her any response, and probably she's going to be evicted very quickly, and after that we're going to make sure property is okay and ask for inspection.
Okay.
So I take that as a no.
Yeah. I mean, even if she does allow the inspection, I guess there's this issue we wouldn't be able to do anything until it's all resolved. So, but it would be one step ahead if we were able to go ahead with the permission of the tenant.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson. Our next case is CEB 041834, Schultz Avenue Rental, LLC. At 2031 Schultz Avenue.
State your name and address, please.
Kenneth Bogdan, 4238 Port Orange, Florida.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Cliff Reckonzone. Mr. Reckonzone reports that this is a failure to obtain building permit. Mr. Reckonzone reports that they are working on doing what they are required and requested to do. He's asking to amend to the next cutoff for them to get it all completed. And I attend to Mr. Reckonzone if y'all have any factual questions.
Are there any questions?
First of all, they pulled the permit?
Yes. Yeah, they have the permit. We just can't close the case until the permit's final.
But the work that was done before the permit was obtained, was this by a licensed roofer?
Yes, I have everything.
No, I mean the work before you pulled the permit.
No, the roof was taken off during the hurricane. And so in order to protect the asset, I put a temporary roof on within a few days, and then I tarped it over, and I started the process of obtaining a permit.
Okay.
And then I wound up with a violation for the work, which was a temporary protecting the asset after the state of emergency. I wound up with a violation for that. I now have the permit, and so I don't understand why I'm not in compliance with failure to obtain a permit.
When you said you put a temporary roof on, what was the temporary roof?
The temporary roof was a truss. It was sheathing, and it was tarped over.
Okay, so you put that up on your own. So,
yes.
You know, if not being a licensed contractor and it's a commercial account, whoever pulls the permit... is the inspector will have to recertify the work that was done by you.
Right.
Say, like the truss.
That's already happened.
And so that's okay? It's recertified by the inspector?
The final inspection has not been done by the building department yet.
No, I mean the existing, the temporary that he put up, the structure.
That's all done by the building department.
Okay. Do you know whether they've done it or not?
They've done three inspections on the property so far.
Mm-hmm.
But the final inspection has not been completed. Once the final inspection is completed, I can close the case.
Okay.
Put the property in compliance.
So the work is complete. You're waiting for an inspection from the building department. Is that correct?
The roof is still tarped at this time. It's not a completed roof at this time. Once the roof is completed, they'll have a final inspection from the building department. Once that final inspection is done, then I can put the property in here.
Okay. Will this? Do you think this roof will be done by in
that
next cutoff?
By the building official, we were giving them another month to extend the process.
Okay.
Is this a habitable Is this a something that you rent out, or is it a garage?
Yes. Yeah, this is an apartment, and we rent it out. So we're motivated to get it done so we could start renting it out again. When I said that, the structure has been approved. The inspections that I've had have been for the framing and the sheathing, which is the structure, and all of the engineering documentation on how to bring everything up to code. That's all been complete. What hasn't been complete is the roofer still has to roof it, and then we just have to get the siding put on. So it's the final that we're looking to complete.
Thank you.
But still, my question is, and I'd like to submit the permit here. If the violation is failure to obtain a permit,
the violation is not failure. It's part of the permit is inspection approvals, so that's the violation, not just the permit. And as soon as you get your inspection approvals, you're fine. It's not just it's a little more than just that.
Right. So what's not clear
people
is that
get permits all the time and then leave them open.
I understand that, yeah. But when I got the violation is a statute that I'm violating, and that is failure to obtain a permit, which was clearly marked down. So, but the
permit is not complete until the inspection is done. So that's the problem.
Okay,
that's the violation.
Is that
it's not just getting it physically getting it because people get permits all the time. It's the permit plus inspection approvals. If you just get the inspection approval, you're fine. You're done. You'll be in compliance. And they give you the time to do it.
It's difficult for me to understand when you have a violation and you comply with the violation. But okay, so what violation do I currently have?
I think what you're saying is the first one you put the roof on, that was the violation. Yourself.
Right.
You put the tarp on it or whatever.
Yeah. Am I not allowed to protect the asset after a hurricane? Is that not allowed? Because I understood
That's not the issue. The issue is as soon as you get complete your work, you'll ask for a final inspection. Once the final inspection is done, the case is closed. You're in compliance. It's not just getting a permit. It's getting a permit plus inspections. Because people get permits all the time. If they don't get inspections, it's not going to work.
But I just wish it was written that way. It's written as failure to obtain a permit. That's the violation. So now that I have
part
the permit...
Part of the process of getting a permit is getting an inspection. It's not a big, difficult thing. You get the inspection, you're going to get it anyway. You're going to get it anyway. You're going to be fine.
If I just obtained a permit, though, I wouldn't be showing up at the board here. I'm showing up at the board.
Just obtained a permit, absolutely nothing else should be here. Yes, you would be here.
If I obtain a permit
and you didn't do anything further, you should be here. It's the simple concept is permit and approvals. It goes together.
See, the issue is you are allowed, if I might say, you're allowed to protect.
Sure.
You're not allowed to put up structural without a permit. That's where, you know, the first thing. You're allowed to protect your asset by tarping it or whatever. But just as soon as you start putting up something structural, you're not allowed to do that without a permit. Not unless you're a licensed contractor.
No, so I understand that, but when the roof blew off, I had a square of cinder block. Putting a tarp over that is just going to collect the water inside. So I had to put something to shed the water off. Putting in wood across the top would also not do it. So I had to build something that would actually shed the water from coming inside to protect it.
I understand.
So, right, so I was kind of forced into that situation to have to put something, yeah. Okay, I still, you know.
Would you have felt more comfortable if it said failure to obtain building permit and inspections? That's all you're arguing about is that we're required.
Right, I understand the violation of failure to obtain a permit.
Yeah.
So now that I was under the impression when I showed up a month ago that I didn't have the permit in hand. It was complete, but it still hadn't been issued. So now, once I got it issued, I was quite surprised that I was still in violation of a violation that said failure to obtain a permit when I had a permit. Go into all the documentation in Daytona Beach. The failure to obtain a permit is simply that. There's nowhere that it says that failure to obtain a permit includes inspections and includes the process. Once you have the permit, then there's another process that occurs where you have 60 days to continue getting inspected, and if you fail to have an inspection within 6 months, then then it expires. So I understand that also. What I don't understand is how I'm being, how the violation extends beyond what's written there. It's a failure to obtain a permit, and I have a permit. So
we'll come back to semantics at this point. Just go ahead and finish up what you're doing. You're going to be fine.
Okay.
Waste the board's time, to be honest with you. Let's finish up what we got. You're going to be fine. You're going to close the case. It's going to be great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Case number CEB041835, Susan Haddox at 613 Holmes Avenue was in compliance 5/8/18. Case number CEB041836, NKVY Enterprises, 609 Holmes Street, was in compliance 5/8/18. Case number 9, CEB041841, and Jetta Properties, LLD, at 327 Silver Beach Avenue.
It's A.J. Carana. Actually, live in Boston, so I'm here for my mom. Her address is 327 Silver Beach Avenue. It's Ocean 6, South 1505, Ocean 6, South Atlantic Avenue.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Can I ask, Madam Chair? You say you're here for your mom. What's your mom's relationship to Ajanta Properties LLC?
She's the owner.
Okay. I don't have any objections.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Cliff Reckonzone. Mr. Reckonzone reports that the respondent is working on compliance and they're doing a good job. They seem to be moving forward in good faith. He's asking that we amend to the next cutoff to allow them to complete their work towards compliance. And attend to Mr. Reckonzone if you have any factual questions.
When were these pictures made first? Is that when these pictures were taken?
These are the recent pictures taken. The project is ongoing right now.
I'm looking at this May 1st. This is going on since September. So what could have been done between September and May?
So what had happened is we had a lot of work scheduled to be done. So my sister had actually come here before, and she had told that. We had gotten work to be done, but a few people actually ran away with the material. Some people tried to fix it and didn't come back. So what we're doing now is we're actually having it. We had a case with Window World, and they put in the wrong windows. So Wells Fargo right now is actually trying to get them to comply. So at this point, we're getting all the work done. However, we found some termite damage. So the termite and the pest control company is here to take care of that, but we didn't feel that we should get the work done before getting the termite damage done.
What does Wells Fargo have to do?
So Wells Fargo is where we actually got the loan for the windows. What Windows World ended up doing is installing the wrong windows. We have a case going on where we're not going to pay because we didn't get the work that we requested done.
Does everyone live in Boston?
Yeah.
Do you have no one here? You haven't got a general contractor or anybody who's supervising this work?
My mom has all the contractors that she's working on.
But she lives here?
Yes, she does.
Okay.
Yeah. So right now we actually have the work getting done. We have a contract right here of all the work that's being done. So we have like the fascia boards being fixed and projects already underway. It's just that we found termite damage, so we're trying to get that taken care of before. Yeah.
Members of the board, just before, so we don't kind of get ourselves off in a tangent, the only issue that is a code issue is the external walls, the fact that he needs to paint them. They started doing pressure washing, and what you're seeing is the results, and that needs to be completed. All the other work is well, to the best of our knowledge, contracted work. They're doing what they, to the, our knowledge, doing what they need to, and we're not, you know, he's telling me about a lot of things that's not part of what we're, this case.
Okay, so we're concerned with the exterior. The pictures that we're seeing now is from being pressure washed.
Yes, those pictures are from being pressure washed. The pictures that he just gave you are from him already starting to paint. So they should have it completed, done by next month, by next cutoff.
Okay. So we have a motion to amend to the next cutoff. Motion a second.
Yeah. Do you think this is going to be done?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
30 days?
Definitely.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, Mr. Renetta, you have 30 days to comply.
Thank you.
And the 10 case number CPG041844, 5 Point Burnout, is in compliance as of 5/2/18. Our new cases. Case number CEB051845. Kathy L. and Kyle Deshawn at 29 Goodall.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or non-compliance. The inspectors, Cliff Reconzone, Mr. Reconzone, reports that this fence was installed without permits. The respondent remains in non-compliance. He's asking you to give him until next cutoff to come into compliance. And I tender Mr. Reconzone for any factual questions.
The original violation was 5/22/17?
Yes.
And they were told to get a permit then?
Yes.
Are these new owners or the same owners?
Same owners.
And why are they requesting an extension?
It's not the extension. It's just we always do compliance, non-compliance, and then next cutoff. We always give time.
Yeah. We have to, don't we have to, really?
We're required to, on an issue, time before the board. They're not subject to sanction until the board has given them an order that they have not complied with.
All right. Looks like a nice fence. So it would be nice if they would just get their permit.
Yes. And I am in contact with them now.
Are there any more questions from the board?
Is there any kind of dispute or anything?
No.
From neighbors?
Not yet.
Okay.
I will make a motion that we find this case in non-compliance, return to the board at the next cutoff, in which case they are not in compliance, that they may be subject to a fine.
Second.
It has been moved and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Case number CEB051846, Michael A. Kramer has been pulled.
Everybody received, we received a copy of the motion. We pulled it until next meeting.
I'm sorry?
Did you pull it?
Yes, we pulled it. Yeah, it's our request.
We don't have to grant the motion then.
Right, there's no motion. It's
been pulled.
Yeah. Right, he did submit something, but yeah, we made a decision and just moved.
Not a problem. It's been pulled.
Number 13, case number CEB051848, Sussmans Incorporated at 303 Seabreeze Boulevard is in compliance as of 5/8/18. Number 14, case number CEB051853, James O. Lambert, trustee of the James O. Lambert Revocation Trust, 215 Oak Ridge Boulevard.
State your name and address, please. I'm talking to my
I'm James O. Lambert. I live at 719 North Olive Avenue here at Daytona Beach.
Do you solemnly swear, raise your hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, all the truth, and none of the truth?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Lambert, we hear from our code department.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Tom Klieg. Mr. Klieg reports that the respondent is currently in noncompliance, and he's asking that you give him until next call to come into compliance. And I turn to Mr. Klieg if you have any factual questions of Mr. Klieg.
Mr. Lambert,
I'm glad I've come because I've never been to anything like this, and I really like how you operate. I've been trying to correct the non-compliance we had with a no-deck permit that was constructed all the way since the beginning of the year, and I did get a general contractor, this John Michel Biro, and I received in the documentation whereby I paid the communication with the architect and go-arounds with your engineering there down at City Hall, which I've learned where they are. But I was shocked last week when I went after getting this letter a week and a half or so ago that there was nothing there. So then I went and I found where the architectural firm was there on Grandview and the paperwork that they had sent me. And they were actually there, so I had a chat with along with the Jean Bureau was there. So, and then he's got since then spoke with Mr. Klieg here, and I was just baffled because I've forever been trying to get it taken care of, but nothing had happened. And I guess there's been two or three cycles with the city building inspector because we had to do everything ADA compliant, and it seemed like we were getting nowhere. And I've already spent with this outfit $2,500 just on talk and stuff, but nothing done yet.
So. My address is to the inspector. So, you know, the architectural plan, since it's structural, has to be completed.
Right.
You know, sealed, the permit. So everything is up to code as far as the, because the issue is, you know, whether it's safety, the standards and everything are met, permits are pulled.
Right. Officer Klieg, my credentials are on file. This, if you can see these pictures, I was from a neighbor's yard, so mm-hmm. I didn't actually get to go on property. He was cited, and about a week ago, the contractor called me and said, and he did apply for the permit. That's the process right now. This hasn't been issued yet. So what he was talking about with the building department, they're working on that, but it's actually the upper deck and the stairs itself that were sited on it. So, but nothing has been issued yet right now yet. So.
Okay.
So it's been applied for.
It's supposed to be completed, but he told me the paperwork with the engineering from the city.
No, it hasn't been finaled and so forth. So like the prior cases, they have to be inspected. So.
Okay.
But as far as you can turn it, it's in safe condition.
What's that, sir?
Everything's in safe condition.
Yes, yes.
Okay, are there any other questions from the board? The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in noncompliance.
And to be brought back into compliance by the next cutoff.
This cutoff.
And
please talk to Mr. Quake here and said that you get granted time to, I don't know what.
How much time do you think you need?
We had a request at next cutoff. I just wanted to clarify something. I think Mr. Click misspoke. You had asked if he said it was, if he thought it was in safe condition. That's something we don't know.
You don't know.
You know, it's still pending inspection. So I don't want, you know, I want to make sure that's clear. He hadn't inspected it. He doesn't really know that at this point.
Yes, your question, ma'am. He shouldn't have no problem, but I told the contractor if that's the case, we can amend to the next cutoff next month. So. And like I said, I apologize to him. I thought he said it was in the same condition. So.
No, he said safe.
No, like I said, I haven't been on the property once yet.
Okay.
Okay. I have a motion
that it be brought into compliance by the next meeting. 6-6.
So moved.
Okay, it's been moved and properly second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay. As you know, number 15, case number CEB051849 was our first case we did earlier. And that was the next cutoff. Number 16, case number CEB051850. Trustee LLC is trustee for the 867/869 Winchester Street Land Trust dated December 19th. This is 869 through 867 Winchester Street.
Madam Chair, members to the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Barbara Collins. Ms. Collins reports that the property, that she hasn't heard any response from the respondent. The property remains in noncompliance. She's asking that you give till next cutoff for them to come to compliance. Attend to Ms. Collins if you have any factual questions.
As far as you can tell, are the units occupied?
Yes, they are occupied.
The owner gets signed for
signed for the green card. Got yours. Signed for them both.
Chair will enter a motion to find the respondent in noncompliance until the next cutoff.
So moved.
Second.
So moved and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Case number 17, case number CEB051851, Wilson Brothers Lawn and Tree Service at 518 Office Street is in compliance as of 5/8/18. Okay. That ends. Do they have it in miscellaneous business?
Yes, ma'am. I'd like to suggest that the board have a meeting and talk to the building official like we have in the past. It was talked about that we were going to wait until a new board member was on board, but we have no idea when that will take place. And I think it would be a good idea, and I think the sooner the better. We have a lot of issues coming up throughout the city that pertains to the board, and so I think it would behoove and be beneficial to the members here on the board now.
Okay, so I'm from what I'm hearing, I'm thinking the thought would be to have them in, as new business at perhaps the next meeting, you're asking for something?
It could be a separate, or it could be at the next meeting, but I think a little answer, talk and answer discussion with the city attorney and our attorney with the things that are going on to the city that pertain to a lot of issues that the code enforcement board has to deal with.
Okay. I can move that over to the workshop separate.
Okay.
Can we get a picture of the convenience of everybody on the board? You know, the volunteers, obviously, their convenience.
Okay.
We've got some topics and Team Tony and I
would like it in the form of a workshop also with a separate meeting time.
Okay.
It doesn't have to meet here. It can be any.
You meet the police station?
Anywhere you want.
Okay.
I'd like to make it on a Thursday, which is our usual meeting time, but not during this meeting, but on a following.
So not the second Thursday, but any other Thursday.
Thursday morning?
Yeah.
But I'd like to do it this time. We've been discussing the workshop at least for I don't know how many months, and I think it would be a very good idea.
Okay.
Because I believe it's been, a couple years since we had the last one?
Yeah, it's been a little bit.
So it's been long enough, to get it set up.
This time I'd like to have the board members submit questions that they would like in advance that they would like addressed.
Okay.
So that we'd get the things that we really want to know addressed rather than just a general review of the Sunshine Law or something like that.
Okay.
I think it would be nice as well to add whatever city officials do the collections and how they go about recovering the fines. I understand that $1 million has been recovered, and there's over $4 million still out there that have not been recovered. And we'd like to kind of understand the process and if there's any suggestions as to how to improve the process and how they feel about the fines that we levy. Are they fair and just, and should those be changed? I mean, I think these are all issues dealing with us as a board, and be nice to throw one of those people in there to this meeting.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's one of the topics that should be addressed.
Mr. Jones,
absolutely. Okay.
Well, can you simply email us on your suggested dates and then ask at that time for some email questions from each of the board members, and then anything you want to cover, you put in too.
Yeah, well, I'll ask for the board staff support to kind of get that all coordinated, and we'll be happy to address it.
My thing is, we've said this a lot of times. Do we have a date, or when are we going to get a date?
Well, then.
Thursday morning is good for me. Any Thursday is good for me.
Well, the city.
I'll ask and send some options.
Okay. Yeah, because the city's going to have to set it up, you know.
I want to thank. I had the pleasure of having Neil and Vernon share the day with me over in Volusia County at the Volusia County Board.
Oh.
They came as observers.
We got to see some power.
Got to see something going on.
All right,
power
cool.
Performance.
24-page docket.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, you know.
All right. Very cool. Very
nice
cool.
To have the professor come over.
Long. Mm-hmm.
And I would like for you to invite the magistrate as well, because he's kind of out there by himself, and I think we should all be talking the same language, and he might have some insight that would be helpful to us as well.
I would also suggest that all of us practice making motions, because it isn't Ouija's job to form every motion. This might be a strain, but we could practice it. And just look at earlier motions.
Just talk about it, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't push the issue today because
me and
the chairperson today.
But from watching the county board, the chairman does not form the motions. Yes. The motions come from the individual board.
Well,
members.
We've all been spoiled. That's why, you know.
Sometimes after an hour of talking.
So I think that would be doing our homework.
Okay.
Okay, are there any more issues or comments?
Okay.